Welcome everyone to another ICM ACICM Next Educational Podcast. My name is Ahmed Zahir. I'm a Senior Clinical Fellow at Oxford University Hospitals and an ACICM Next Committee member. Today our guest speakers are Rombout van Amstel, who is a PhD candidate at the Department of Intensive Care Medicine in Amsterdam. After graduating his medical school in 2020, he worked for a short period of time in the ICU before committing to research full-time. His PhD is focused on personalized medicine in sepsis and ARDS in critically ill patients. Our next speaker is Lonika van Vogt, who is a postdoc at the Department of Intensive Care Medicine in Amsterdam. Currently, she is performing an interesting research on providing insight into sepsis phenotypes from ICU admission to discharge. Her PhD was on sepsis in the ICU and has been awarded multiple grants on this topic. We will discuss today the recent review article in one of the core important topics in our daily practice as intensive care doctors, which is uncovering heterogeneity in sepsis, a comparative analysis of subphenotypes. Welcome everyone to the program. Also, I would like to welcome my colleague Marco, who is a next committee member, who will co-moderate with me this interesting topic.
Welcome and thank you for inviting me. So a brief introduction, I'm Margo. I work in intensive care and anesthesia in France, and I recently joined the next committee and I'm very happy to be part of this. Thank you, Ahmed.
Before starting, we would really appreciate the listeners to fill the survey after listening to help us improve our quality of our podcast. Let's go into the topic. Tell me, Rombout, what were the clinical and academic rationale for uncovering different sepsis subphenotypes?
Yeah, thank you very much for having us, Ahmed. So our original goal was to compare different subphenotypes in sepsis, and the rationale for uncovering the different subphenotypes is rooted in the recognition of heterogeneity in sepsis and the change towards precision treatment. We all know that sepsis is a burden on the ICU, and many randomized controlled trials have been performed because of this. Unfortunately, most trials have been negative, and part of that is due to the heterogeneity. So that's why the field is moving towards precision medicine. And in order to do this, patients are divided into smaller subgroups, so-called subphenotypes or endotypes. And these subtypes are based on shared underlying biology or outcomes that can potentially lead to more targeted and effective interventions for the patient. And at present, more than 107 or 100 sepsis subtypes are proposed that can potentially aid in the precision therapy. However, there is no awareness of overlap or clinical applications. So it's unknown whether each new subtype strategy that is developed and published is of added value for the patient, or it's just reinventing the wheel by being comparable to already existing subtypes. So this is essential information for not only for the patient to improve the patient, but also in order to inform predictive enrichment in future trials to hopefully find an effective treatment for sepsis.
Yeah, thank you. Rombout. My next question would be, in your analysis, you have mentioned different approaches to discover sepsis heterogeneity. Can you tell us more about that?
On my behalf, also thank you guys for having us here. So in order to answer the question, Rombout already said, to tackle the heterogeneity in sepsis, multiple research groups have investigated dividing patients into subtypes. So there are many subtypes already known, and what we've done here is we've used four different subtype strategies that were previously published, based on multiple different data layers. So the first one is the Seneca subtypes, and these were based on clinical, purely clinical data, like vital signs, routine laboratory values. And it's the one of the most cited papers on subphenotyping in sepsis. And the second one is the ARDS subphenotype, so the hyper and the hypoinflammatory phenotype, which are also validated in sepsis patients. And these phenotypes are based on biomarker data, so plasma protein biomarkers such as interleukins. And the third and the fourth subgroups are the MARS endotypes and the SRS endotypes. And these are based on transcriptomic data. So together, these four strategies cover different pathophysiological processes in sepsis, and they are associated with heterogeneity in treatment effect. And well, they're among the most cited subphenotype strategies we've known in sepsis so far.
Can you tell us more about their implementation in your methodology?
So our goal was to compare the different subtype strategies that are known, the four that Tomika just explained. And in order to do this, we need to assign the subphenotypes to the patients. For this, first we used the MARS cohort. It's a prospective cohort from 2011 to 2014 for multiple ICUs in the Netherlands. And there are around 8,000 patients in this. And the beautiful thing of this cohort is that it's not only clinical data, but we also have biomarker data and transcriptomic data. And that's exactly what we need for our analysis to compare the four strategies. So we selected all the patients who fulfilled sepsis criteria upon admission and then assigned the labels to each patient. I won't go exactly into detail for this podcast how we assigned the labels to each patient. You can read the article for that, but it was a complicated process to do this. The most easy ones are the ARDS subphenotypes. There have been many, many articles published on how to do this, and you only need three variables for this to say if a patient is hyperinflammatory or hypoinflammatory. And the most hard ones to assign to patients are the ones based on transcriptomic data, so the SRS and the MARS endotypes. Also, if you look from a different standpoint, from the standpoint of a clinician, this is similar. You don't have transcriptomic data at the bedside of each patient admitted to the ICU, so it's hard to use this in clinical practice. But it's more easier to use the Seneca or the ARDS subphenotypes. But it's strategy based on clinical variables, so the Seneca subtypes, you need much more variables to do this. So there are pros and cons for each subphenotype, so it's also helpful to take into account when you compare these strategies.
And would you tell us more about how you manage the statistical challenges?
Also, I think the main statistical problem was assigning the labels to each patient, as Rombaut just previously said. And this takes some time. And it's important because you don't want to assign a patient the wrong label, because otherwise your analysis doesn't make sense anymore. So fortunately, we had the original investigators that created the different subtype strategies as co-authors on this paper, and they helped us assign the labels to the patients. And two statisticians, so Joe Butler and Hasselbeter Sangers, who are also co-authors on this paper, they also helped with the statistical challenges to conduct, for instance, the comparisons. So together with the entire team, we managed all these different statistical challenges.
You have explored the concordance between different subtypes. Can you tell us more?
So our goal is to explore the concordance, or otherwise the agreement or the overlap, you can call it, between the subtypes. So first we assessed whether the distributions of the different subtypes was similar compared to the original cohort. This was the case, except for the Seneca subtypes. And this is also the first important result we found, and you have to realize applying subtypes to a different setting may yield different distributions. Then after this, we compared the subtypes on different levels. So just looking at the distributions between the subtypes did not really show a clear overlap. So if I can give an example, if we take all the patients belonging to the gamma Seneca subtypes, and then we look, are these MARS 1, MARS 2, MARS 3, or MARS 4? It turned out that 25% was Mars 1, 25% was Mars 2, etc. They were almost always equally distributed. And this holds true for most, for almost all the subtypes. The most overlap was visible when you compared the Mars and the SRS endotypes. And this is not that surprising to us because both endotypes use the same features. They use transcriptomic data. And another finding was that the ARDS subtypes and all the other subtypes had some moderate overlap. And in the absence of overlap between clinical and molecular classifiers, it may be that the biomarkers form a key link between the clinical and transcriptomic approaches to subtyping in sepsis. You can think of the clinical data as the first layer, then the biomarker data as the second layer, and the transcriptomic data as the third layer. So the biomarker data is in between both layers. So it's not that much of a surprise that it might be a link between two subtype strategies. We also looked if the overlap was visible within clinical variables, biomarkers, or transcriptomic data. And in short, the story didn't change at all. The same things as we saw with the distribution was visible with clinical variables, with biomarkers, or with transcriptomic data. So overall, there was no clear relationship between any of the subtyping approaches, except when looking at subtypes derived from the same data source, in our case, the Mars and the SRS endotypes. And it may be that the biomarker subtypes form a key link between all kinds of strategies.
Yeah, thank you. So our next question would be to Dr. Van Vogt. Can you tell us more about the sepsis ensemble of conception, please?
Yes, definitely. So as Romba just explained, there are multiple layers of data, and these subtypes are based on these different data layers. So these sepsis ensembles were an exploratory analysis to see what happens if we combine these different subtype classifications. So do the characteristics and the outcome of a patient change, or are they, what happens to that, to those features when you assign multiple of these subtypes? So when you take, for instance, one within the clinical data layer and you combine this with a subtype from the biomarker data layer, and even combine the third data layer, the transcriptomic data layer. And we did this because these subtypes are not mutually exclusive. So you can be a delta patient, so that is from the clinical data layer. And at the same time, you can be assigned to the hypoinflammatory ARDS subphenotype. So combining these two is then called, we call those an subtype ensemble, a combination of subtypes assigned to the same patient. And what we saw is that different, that dependent on the combination of subtyping approaches made, mortality can be quite different. So as an example, that a patient can be a gamma, so in the Seneca subtypes in the clinical data layer, a hypoinflammatory patient within the ARDS subtype, so within the biomarker layer, and an SRS1, which is one of the transcriptomic layers. So when you then also assign the Mars endotype, so one Mars 1, 2, 3, or 4, the mortality ranges between, can range between 8 and almost 50%. So that means that within the homogeneous groups, there's still some heterogeneity present.
How do you think the results of this analysis would impact the current clinical practice?
At this moment, subtypes in sepsis are not used in the clinic, to my knowledge, because of a number of problems. One of the problems is that phenotyping at bedside is difficult, as I explained earlier, for example, for the transcriptomic data. And there's also a lack of randomized controlled trials to provide evidence for clinical practice. All the analyses that have been done retrospectively. They have been done sometimes in RCTs, but there hasn't been a prospective trial. There are now trials underway, but they haven't been finished yet. So I don't think it will change clinical practice at this moment. However, we now know that the different strategies do not lead to comparable identifications of patient populations. So you can use the information in a number of ways. One is to consider the bedside approach for clinicians. It's much easier to use clinical data to assign a subtype than transcriptomic data. However, biomarker data is key for heterogeneity of treatment effect that has been published before by Patrick Sinha, and seems in our case to be a link between the subtypes in our analysis. So you can think, as a clinician points to, why not use first biomarker data? You don't have the complexity of the transcriptomic data and may cover part of the subtypes based on the clinical or transcriptomic data. Second is that this result we showed is essential information to inform predictive enrichment in future trials. As I already said, there have almost not been RCTs published with these subtypes in sepsis. And it's logical to do a clinical trial with one subtype strategy, but perhaps in a post-hoc analysis, you can use the data collected to assign the other subtypes to the patient to see if perhaps those have a positive effect. Because we show that they do not identify the same patient population, so there might be a different treatment effect in each different subtype.
Yeah, thank you. You've already mentioned some of the challenges, but can you tell us what do you think are the future perspectives in this field would be?
Well, I think this Rombaut already mentioned a little bit on this topic. So the future goal would be to it should be the same for every subtyping strategy in sepsis, and that is finding identifiable and verifiable treatable traits that will change clinical practice. So the ultimate goal would be to use this to identify a subtype in a patient that changes their clinical outcome. So that you know that this patient is, for instance, a subtype with a higher mortality risk, or with a subtype that responds well to some sort of treatment, and by identifying these, that would mean more precision medicine for this particular patient. So there are currently two trials underway that, as Rombaut already mentioned before, that investigates the possible treatment effect of these subtypes in sepsis. So the RECORDS trial in France from Dr. Anane, and the ImmunoSEP trial in Europe led by Mihai Natea and Evangelos Bourboulis. And these hopefully will become the first large sepsis trials that use these subtypes, or that use some kind of patient classification that can change clinical practice. And in the goal of finding treatable traits, we can use the information from our study that the subtypes can possibly be investigated next to each other, or possibly in combination with each other, to enhance precision medicine in sepsis.
Sadly, this is our last question. What is your take-home message towards our listeners?
We already mentioned a couple of points, but the study's take-home message is that sepsis subtypes identified through clinical biomarker and transcriptomic approaches do not align well, so highlighting the complexity of sepsis heterogeneity. And this emphasizes the need for more comprehensive and integrated strategies to enhance precision medicine in sepsis treatment. And it also shows that subtypes are likely to represent complementary pathways to precision medicine approaches in sepsis.
And finally, thank you to our valuable speakers. Thank you, Margot. Thank you all for listening to us, and have a nice day.